Speak to us now, Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. This is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, God, but your word will forever last. We stand ready for your word. Father, bless us now in all that we do and say. The words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. May your word find fertile ground, great seed, that it will be planted in soil that would allow it to grow so that we would be more than just hearers of your word. Help us to be doers as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We live in a culture of troubled minds and restless hearts. Even when things are going well, we're afraid it won't last. Even when things are stable, we are wondering when things are going to fall apart. Even when God has been good, we're wondering when is life going to get bad. And if life is quietly bad, we're wondering if it will ever get good again. Life has a way of pressing on your peace. Bills you didn't expect come. Sickness you didn't see coming. Problems you couldn't predict. Crisis and calamities you didn't plan for. And death, even when you see it coming, it's always unwelcome. And life can push you into places where anxiety feels almost automatic, where fear becomes familiar and worry feels natural. My brothers and sisters, I can confess to you today that even your pastor has been going through some struggling and stressful times, trying to figure out what is God doing. I feel clear in terms of the direction he wants me to go, but I'm wondering why am I facing the opposition and I'm going in the direction he wants me to go. Paul is in prison when he writes to the church at Philippi this command to don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. It's a phrase that is impossible for anybody to obey in their flesh, and it's a challenge for the saint to practice it even with Christ in our lives. Don't be anxious about anything. Now, Paul gives us this divine prescription for human anxiety. You see, here's what I know, even for some of you who had a reasonably great celebration this past week. Thanksgiving Day was pretty good, especially for Cowboys fans. Big win, got big win, big week. Y'all might even win the Super Bowl this year. Good time with family. They stayed just long enough to have a good time, not too long to get into fights. But here's the truth of the matter. Now it's time to get back to the real world. And if there was some stuff that you were worrying about, if there was some stuff that you were anxious about before the holiday started, guess what? It's waiting for you on tomorrow morning. But Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought how to have peace when life won't let you rest. How to have peace when life won't let you rest. If you need an outline, would you raise your hand? If you have an outline, say amen. If you need one, let the ushers know. For those of you who are watching, you can find the outline on our app, the Good Hope Church app, or go to our website, goodhope.org, and you'll find in the fill-in-the-blank outline there. Three things I want you to see today that the Apostle Paul shares with the church at Philippi that I believe will be helpful for all of us if we listen in and eavesdrop on his conversation with them on how to find peace, have peace when life won't let you rest. Number one, first thing, you need to stop worrying about anything. And I want you to put quotation marks around anything. Stop worrying about anything. Anything. Not just everything, but anything. Stop worrying about anything. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, Paul is writing to a people who were worrying, who were anxious. They were anxious in part because, according to Philippians chapter 1, they were facing and dealing with persecution. In Philippians chapter 3, they were dealing with false teachers. We see later on in chapter 4, they were dealing with internal conflict and financial strain. And in the midst of all of these things that would normally make any person, let alone a group of people, anxious, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. But Paul was not only writing to them to encourage them, there's a sense that Paul was writing to encourage himself. See, Paul didn't write this from a good place, as we would deem it. Paul was in a prison cell. Paul was awaiting trial. He was unsure if he would live or die. He was seen as a threat to Rome. He was abandoned by some and criticized by others. And so Paul is not writing from what he has dreamed up theoretically. He is writing from a place of personal experience to a people who he knows are experiencing the same thing themselves. He says, do not be anxious for anything. Now, that word anxious in the original language means to be divided, to be pulled apart mentally. It's the idea of having your thoughts strangled or choked because of excessive concern. It's the same word that is used in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Listen to what it says. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Jesus says you should not be worrying about everyday life. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. Why? Because worry will pull your mind in opposite directions, so much so that you cannot get anything done like you should. Nothing is off limits. In other words, Paul says, whatever you've been worrying about, it doesn't matter. You don't need to worry. You should not worry. You should not be anxious about your finances, your family, your job, your health, your future, your enemies, your friends, your storms. You should not be anxious about anything. See, worry is like a rocking chair. It moves, but you don't go anywhere. Right? Worry, I have your mind jumping and you, this option, but nothing gets done. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to evaluate what you've been worrying about. And has that worrying revealed your distrust of God? See, I submit to you today, my brothers and sisters, that when you worry, you don't trust. And when you trust, you don't worry. And when you worry about the things in the world, what you're saying is you don't trust the God who loved you enough to die for you, but you don't believe he loves you enough to take care of you. But Paul doesn't stop there. He tells us don't be anxious about anything. But then he says, let me give you a replacement for your anxiety. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Number two, he says you need to start praying about everything. You need to start praying about everything. The B part of verse 6, Philippians chapter 4, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But in everything. Now, Paul says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Pray about everything. What do you mean everything? Everything. Paul says you've got to pray about the big things and the small things. You got to pray about the emotional and the intellectual. You got to pray about the hidden and the seen things. You got to pray about the embarrassing things, the unexpected things, the everyday things, the impossible things, and even what you think is possible. He says you got to learn how to pray about everything. Here's the problem. The devil subtly shifts you to taking care of some things so you don't pray about everything. And then when you get to the big things, you're anxious about the big things because you haven't learned how to pray and trust God with the little things. See, praying about the little things preemptively prepares you to know what to do when the big things come. But when you start taking care of the little things on your own, you take care of level one stuff on your own, you take care of level three stuff on your own, you start building a false confidence in yourself that you can take care of everything. And then when you get to about level 7 or 8 and you start worrying, God says you didn't trust me with 1 or 2, so how are you gonna know how to trust me with 7 and 8? Friend of mine was telling me that his little girl wanted to have a conversation with him. Very, very important conversation to her. Some might call it a life-altering conversation with her. She wanted to have a conversation with her daddy about her tea set. Little girl wanted to talk about her tea set. Wanted to share with her daddy her concerns about her tea set. And so he said He stopped doing what he was doing and just paid attention, man, like that tea set was the most important thing in the world. And I said, man, I said, what made you do that? He said, because here's what I've learned. He said, I want to make sure she knows what she says to me is important to me, even when it's not important to me, so that when she has something to tell me that's important to me, she'll already be in the practice of coming to me. God says, I want you to come to me. And if you learn how to come to me in the little things, you won't struggle to come to me when the big things come. Too many of us, my brothers and sisters, haven't really learned how to come to God even with our little things. He says, start praying about everything. Now watch this. He gives us 3 layers that should mark your prayers. He says, you choose 1, 2, or all 3. He says, first, A, you should pray a prayer. Now this is the broadest term for prayer, and it really just connotes a general conversation with God. It means acknowledging the presence of God. You come with reverence. You focus on your relationship, not your requests. And you have a conversation with God. We have learned through our discipleship culture that when you pray, P-R-A-Y, Sister Rose talked about it earlier, right? You P, praise. You R, repent. You A, ask. And Y, you yield. You don't do all the talking and then hang up the phone with a ceremonial in Jesus' name. No, you want to talk to God, but you also want to give God time to talk to you. You want to hear from God. He says you've got to pray. You've got to have a conversation with God, and all of us know a conversation should never be one-sided. It should be two-sided. You should talk and you should listen. But then he says, let's go to the next level. B, supplication. Supplication. And supplication is a specific, urgent, detailed pleading to God. This is not a now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. This is not a prayer that's designed to impress family members with how much more spiritual you've become. This is a crying prayer. This is a prayer that may start on your knees and end up with you on your face. Right? This is a sure enough prayer to God with complete vulnerability before God. Saying that God is not my mother, it's not my father, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. This is the prayer for real. Watch this. When you stop blaming other people for what you do and start taking ownership of it and go to God in honesty and sincerity and say, God, work on me. But then he says, see, with thanksgiving. It's as if Paul says when you pray, there's an action that should be part of your praying, but there's an attitude that needs to undergird all of your praying. You should be praying with thanksgiving. Now somebody said, why should I pray with thanksgiving? Because this gratitude should be present while you're still asking, because watch this, thankfulness in your praying reminds you that the one you are praying to has been faithful in your past, is faithful in your present, and will be faithful in your future. It is a reminder to you that the God who brought you this far has not brought you this far to leave you now. It's the reminder that God still has his hand on your life. And so you ought to pray with thanksgiving. He says, so by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, watch what he says, make your requests made known to God. Now, let me share a couple of things with you all. First of all, let your requests be made known to who? No, to who? God. Let your requests be made known to God. Not your mama, not your daddy, not your best friend, not your ride or die. Let your requests be made known to God. And I don't know why the Holy Ghost has me adding this in this service, because I didn't have it in the first service. Here's the problem. We share our requests with people who can't do anything about it. And normally you share it with people who you know are going to affirm what you believe, even if it's your greatest insanity. I can't believe he did. And I can't believe she. I know you're right. Because you're not going to tell anybody that's going to disagree with you. You're not going to tell anybody that's going to say, no, wait a minute, hold on, sis. Wait a minute, hold on, bro. No, you got to look at that. No. All we want is affirmation at that moment. He said, make your requests known to God. Don't give your request to anybody who can't solve it for you. Don't go looking for a yes from somebody who can only tell you no. See, when you pray, God says you got to know who to go to. You got to know how to go to him. And here's what he wants you to understand. When you pray, it is not that you are praying to give God some information that he doesn't already have. Prayer is not about you giving God information. It's about your formation and your transformation and God molding you and moving you from being independent and trying to take care of yourself to becoming more dependent upon him. See, prayer aligns your heart with God's will. Prayer releases your grip on control, and prayer, listen carefully, transfers your burden from you to him. When I go to the airport, I typically have some carry-on material, and then I take my bags, of course, and check them in, one bag, two bags, however long I'm gone. And when I check my bags in, I have to trust that they're going to get my bags to my final destination. Now, I've had situations where they've asked me, where am I going? I tell them, I show them the ticket, and I got there and my bags didn't. But there was nothing I could do except wait and trust that they will get my bags there eventually. And they did. My brothers and my sisters, when you pray, it's like you're going to the counter and you're checking your prayers in with God, and then you trust God to deliver whatever you need to come out of that prayer. So let me ask you a question. What are you worrying about? No. What are you worrying about? Now, be honest, because here's the problem that some of y'all have. The problem that some of you have is when I say, what are you worrying about? Because you define worry in an extreme way, you don't consider your worry to be real worry. Okay, let me put a quarter in the meeting park there, see if I can make sense for you. You tell somebody, what are you angry about? I'm not angry. No, you angry. No, I'm not angry. If I was angry, I'd be cussing, fussing, and throwing stuff. I ain't throwing anything, so I ain't angry. You following me? So they take an extreme expression, and because they're not at that extreme expression, they say, that's not me. So for somebody, when I say worry, you say, well, my hair's not falling out. I ain't losing sleep. I'm not losing weight. I'm not gaining weight. I'm not staying up all night, so I don't worry. And God says, I beg to differ. You have been worrying. And the reason God can say you've been worrying is because you have not trusted him with what has been continually on your mind and wreaking havoc in your spirit. So here's what I want you to do. If you're honest, I want you to start making a worry list of the things that have you concerned, right? The things that have you concerned. It's like that show when the guy said, they said, you're a hoarder. He said, no, I'm not a hoarder. I prefer the C word, collector, right? So we want to say it in a nicer way. So you're not anxious, you're concerned. So make your list of the items you are concerned about, the people you are concerned about. And then here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that worry list or that anxiety list or that concern list and cross that word out and make it your prayer list. And start praying about those matters. Look at Proverbs 16:3. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Let's go to our third and final thing. Number three, you need to start resting in God's peace. Start resting in God's peace. Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That word for peace means assurance, confidence, security in your relationship with God. It is a peace that can exist regardless of your circumstances and your situations. Most people define peace by the presence or absence of chaos or confusion. So, for example, you're not going to have any confusion in your life. You're not going to have any relationships that are going to bring confusion because you're going to have peace. But the peace that Paul is talking about is a peace that exists regardless of what's going on around you because of who lives inside of you. He says you got to have the peace of God, and the peace of God is not passive. The peace of God is protective. The peace of God is not a peace that's produced by circumstances, reasoning, escape, avoidance, or emotional detachment. Some of y'all are trying to find peace, but you're not finding it God's way, and that's why it doesn't last. See, if you try to find peace in pharmaceutical products, when you come off of the high, guess what? The peace is gone, right? Because you really didn't have peace. You just had avoidance or escapism, right? If you want peace in your house and you get upset and you leave home, guess what you got to come back to? You got to come back to the same chaotic, confusing situation that you left. Now, you may be able to calm down and deal with it a little bit better, but God says, no, you got to learn how to have peace in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Then the God of peace will be with you. Put into practice what you've learned, and the God of peace will be with you. You want the peace of God, you got to have peace with God. And if you put into practice what God has told you to do, you can have his peace on the other side of your obedience. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. See, he says, I'm going to give you a peace that surpasses all human understanding. In other words, it's going to blow people's minds. It may even blow your mind because it defines human logic. It transcends human explanation and it outperforms human comprehension. When you have the peace of God, can I tell you what you're going to have? If you really get to that place where you have the peace of God, you get to a place when folks start clowning and acting crazy. You have a conversation with yourself and say, look at you. Oh, child of God self, look at you. Look at you with the peace of God up here in the midst of all of this mess. Look at you. Years ago, you know, when they were acting like this in this office, you were a clown and acted a fool. But look at you praying for folk in Jesus' name. Look at you with the peace of God in your life, even if it's not on your t-shirt. Look at you. And he says that peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. So it's the idea of a guard standing at attention, guarding your heart, your emotions, and guarding your mind, your thoughts. And he says, when you worry about nothing and pray about everything, he says, God will give you a peace that will guard your heart and will guard your mind. Y'all, some of y'all don't experience peace because you give it away to other people to control. There's a book in the airport I was walking through, and the title of the book said, if people are driving you crazy, take away the keys. You driving me crazy. Why are you letting them in the car? Why are you giving them that kind of power over your life? Folk can't take you where you're not willing to go. He says he will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In Jesus Christ. See, here's the truth. The peace that I'm talking about, that for some of you, God wants you to get. For others, God is trying to remind you that you have a peace that you have abandoned. You've gone back to worrying. Child of God, you've gone back to fretting. Child of God, you done gone back to all of these negative thoughts. And God says, wait a minute, hold on. Remember, be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. And the peace of God. Look at Colossians 3:15. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. John 14:27, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Ephesians 3:19, let's read it together. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. When fear rises, I want you to declare peace, God's peace, over your life. Trust peace in the midst of what you're going through. Even when you don't know the outcome, remind yourself that peace is guarding you and worry is not welcome. And don't sabotage your own peace by going back to what you've already been released from. If you've been released and God has given you peace, then hold on to that peace. Have I got a witness here? See, life may shake you, but God will give you peace to settle you. Life may confuse you, but God can calm you down. Somebody knows life will drain you, but have I got a witness? God can deliver you. And even if God doesn't bring you out, anybody here, can you testify that God can see you through? Yeah. Yes, sir. The winds may blow, but his peace will anchor you. The storms may rage, but his peace will shelter you. The night may be long, but his peace will comfort you. So don't worry about anything. Pray about everything and rest in the peace that guards you in the midst of everything. A peace that may not make sense, but a peace that will always make a difference. Have I got a witness here? A peace that stands guard at the gate of your spirit. A peace that blocks whenever the enemy comes against you. A peace that holds you and will let God keep you. A peace that you can't rationalize. You can't make sense out of it. But somebody needs to know that God's peace will keep you in the midst of your storm. So when people ask you, how are you still standing? Tell them it's the peace of God that has me standing. When life won't let you rest, God's peace will let you sleep. When life brings chaos and confusion, God's peace will calm you down. When life won't give you rest, God will give you peace. So when your mind runs wild, let God bring you back to still waters. When fear tries to take over, let God guard your heart. Have I got a witness here? When the weight of the world seems too heavy, let God's peace carry. carry you when the night feels long. Let God's peace light your way when worry won't let you go. Let peace give you that blessed assurance when everything feels uncertain. Let God's peace anchor your soul when life shakes you down to the foundation. Let God steady your steps. Have I got a witness here? When the battle is unending, know that God can give you peace even when the battle is raging. Yes, yes, yes. When the valley seems long and it seems too deep, God's mercy will walk you through. When the burdens try to break you, God will build you. When the night won't release you, God will direct you. I don't know about you, but I'm gonna pray about everything. Worry about nothing and trust God to answer my prayers. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? That problem that I had, I just couldn't seem to break. I tried and I tried, just got deeper involved. So I turned it over to Jesus and I stopped worrying about it. I turned it over to the Lord and he worked it out. That pain that would not move had me praying in the upper room. That burden that I bore had me wondering how much more. So I gave it over to Jesus and I stopped worrying about it. I gave it over to the Lord and he worked it out. That habit that I had, I just couldn't seem to break. I prayed and I prayed. Don't let it be too late. I gave it over to Jesus and I stopped worrying about it. I gave it to the Lord and he worked it out. Have I got a witness in here? Anybody ever gave him a burden? Anybody ever gave him a habit? Anybody ever gave him a problem? And didn't he work it out? Can you raise your hand and say he worked it out? He worked it out. He worked it out. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. Worrying does you no good. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Go to God about everything. Go to God about everything. Don't talk to yourself. Don't talk to somebody else. Go to God in prayer. Talk to God and let the God of peace give you peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you today. Thank you, Lord, for lessons taught, lessons reminded, For somebody, it may be new information. For somebody else, it's just a reminder of what they've already known, but may not be practicing like they should. Help us today, God, to be anxious about nothing, to pray about everything, and to rest in your peace that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We bless you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Everybody who can, everybody who will, if you stand where you are. Those of you who are watching, listening, if you're still with us today, thank you. I want to minister to you right where you are. Now, I want to give those of you an opportunity who want to come, to come. If you need the Lord in your life and you're here in person, upstairs or down, to my left or to my right, I want to invite you to say yes today. The men and women who are up front would love to show you privately how to ask the Lord into your life. If you're looking for a church home, we invite you to come. If you are in special need of prayer and you want somebody to pray with you, they'll pray with you as well. Those of you who are watching, there's a QR code on the screen and it's a quick link. It will take you to a series of choices online. If you'd like to accept Christ as your Savior, you can do that. Just click that link. If you want to join our church, you can do that as well. Our I Hope Church community is growing and we are concretizing, if I can use that word, because we want you to do more than just watch. We want you to be part of our online family and our online community wherever you are in the world. You can use that QR code. So as we stand, I want you to reflect on what God is telling you out of this message, what God wants you to do, how to transition your worry list into a prayer list. And as we think about those things, if you're here, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes. Come down from upstairs or downstairs. Minister Taylor's going to minister in song and following that. Or as he ministers, come on and come. We won't look at you funny. We'll rejoice with you today. Come on and come.
I'll give you peace when the storm is raging. I'll be your light when the road ahead seems dim. I have the power. Trust in me. Anything you need, have faith indeed. Just ask in my name. Oh, oh, oh. Just ask, just ask.
Is there one? Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand of praise today. Anybody, were you blessed by that message? Were you helped by that word today? Amen. Amen. Reverend Bell is going to come now and lead us as we ready to conclude our worship experience. Let me just remind you, next week, our celebration is going to be great, man. We're looking forward to God blessing us. And I think this is the first celebration we're going to have. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper as well. So it's going to be a great, great day. Looking forward to what God is going to do. Don't forget to wear your shirts. Those of you who want to do your cardboard testimonies, you contact Sister Paula Fortune and let them know, or contact the pages and let them know that you want to participate. We'll have to put a cap on it because we'd be here all day if we see everybody's cardboard testimony. And we want to make sure that we include those of you who are watching wherever you are. Come on, say amen as Reverend Bell comes.